بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأدخلني برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. Before I start my talk, I would like to share two things with you. The first with regards to Adhan, which our respected Shaykh has just mentioned before Salah. Adhan, this is a very great thing of Islam. It is a salient feature of Islam. And we need to respect the Adhan and we need to honor the Adhan. And I would like to mention one virtue, let's say one dua, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned with regards to Adhan. In Mishkat, under the chapter of Kitabul Adhan, there's a hadith mentioned that when you hear the Mu'addin saying the Adhan, then a person should read this dua, that أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever hears the Adhan and he recites this dua, that أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله, that I bear witness that there is no deity besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his Rasul. And then a person says, رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, that I am pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb, وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my Nabi, and وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, and Islam as my religion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that whoever recites this dua, then غُفِرَ لَهُ ذَنْبُهُ, then his minor sins will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very minute action, very small action to carry out, which will take a few seconds, but how much virtue Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. Sometimes we think to ourselves that how merciful Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to his ummah, that he showed us small things to carry out, but the virtue is vast and immense. Small actions to carry out, very little time which it takes, but a lot of reward which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made it easy for us. So this is one of the mu'jizah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have been told to do small things, small actions, but great rewards have been kept in there for us. So this is the first thing I wanted to share with you, that we should read this dua when we hear the Adhan. The virtue is that our sins, our minor sins, will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing which I would like to share with you, I remember fondly when I was studying in my study days in the madrasa, that our respected Shaykh Dawud Barakatuhum, he mentioned something which it's possible you might not even find in the Kitab of Fiqh with regards to Salah. One thing the upbringing and the nurturing of our Shaykh was so amazing that even if we have to give our lives, we cannot be thankful to our respected Shaykh for the nurturing and upbringing he done for us. He mentioned one day the way of performing salah. He mentioned that one action which you have to do in salah is that when you start your salah, and the right foot should be on the ground till the end of your salah. It should not move anyway. That your right foot should be where it is when you start your salah. It should not move. Only your left foot will be moving in salah. Because when you will be going into sajda, when you will be sitting in between the sajda, you will be placing your left foot down. Only the right foot is such that it should be where it is from the beginning till the end of the salah. Especially the toes of your right foot. This should not move from where they are. Hazrat Damat Barakatum, he stood there, he showed it to us, and he showed us the way of performing salah in this way. So this was the nurturing and upbringing of our respected Shaykh Damat Barakatum. And time and again, our respected Shaykh Damat Barakatum, he tells us that let's make our salah beautiful, let's make our salah such that we can, there can be, they can reach the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can be taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not perform our salah in such a way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if a person doesn't perform his salah, then that salah is slapped upon him. Let us beautify our salahs. Let us make our salah such that it is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is so many sunnahs in salah, more than 50 sunnah in salah. And if we practice one sunnah of salah, then by the end of the year, at least our salah can become perfect. And bringing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our salah, this is one way of making, of having the mind together with the body there in salah. Not that the mind is somewhere else and our body is just performing the salah. But we will have complete attention. If we study one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to salah, and for 1 week we practice on that one sunnah, then we will have complete attention. For example, a person needs to learn the sunnah of entering the masjid, which is with their right foot, and reading the dua, Allahumma aftahli abwaab wa rahmatik. So for 1 week he will have to give complete attention to this. 5 times a day he will be entering the masjid, so he will have to have his mind there, he will have to be focused. And he will have to bring this attention in his mind. Then after 1 week this will become a habit. Automatically he will be entering the masjid with his right foot, and he will automatically be reading the dua. So the main thing is we need to have attention. Similarly, when a person needs to go for a driving test, he needs his attention there. After some time, once he passes his test and he will be driving on the motorway, he will be talking to somebody, he will be eating something, but his mind will be there. Similarly, if we pay attention and we focus upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this will become a habit, and automatically the sunnahs will be practicing them without even paying attention. So this is the second thing which I wanted to mention and share, that let us make our salahs perfect so that they may be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one way of making our salah perfect is that we bring the sunnah of the salah in our lives. And salah is such a ibadah which we have to carry out each and every single day, 5 times a day. And this is the main ibadah in which we lack so much that so many sunnahs are left out. And we just perform salah in a very, in a rush. We do not have the attention and the focus that we are standing in front of who? We are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the masjid, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should have all these things before us, and then we should perform salah. Our salah will become better, and it will be beautiful, our salah. And our salah will be said that it will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the two things I wanted to share with you. Now let us ponder upon the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Haji Farooq Sahib rahmatullah alayh, the late Shaykh of our respected Shaykh, used to say that we are drowned in the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we only know a few blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is so many other blessings and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we do not know of, and towards which our mind does not even go to. So there are so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have to ponder upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I fondly remember once in my study days, we were having a majlis with Hazrat Damat Barakatum in the gardens of JRU. So the weather was nice and we were having a majlis. And Hazrat was mentioning this topic about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned that we should ponder upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala each and every single day. Take out some time, 1, 2, 3 minutes, sit down and ponder upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ponder upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not that out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. He's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He's so kind, He's so merciful, He's wadud, He's loving to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to punish us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks for small excuses to forgive us. So let us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His love, not out of His fear. If we love Allah, if we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His love, then we will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of ways. So the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are immense upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you are to enumerate and count the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. Because the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so many and are so vast. So we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the blessings He has given us. Once our Hazrat Damat Barakatum had gone for Umrah with some students, and Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Sahib Damat Barakatum was even present there. So Hazrat requested Mufti Sahib that, can you advise us, the students are here, I am here, if you can please advise us. So Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri Damat Barakatum, he was giving advice and he mentioned an example that, for example, you go for Umrah and you buy a scarf for your local imam, you take a hadiah, a gift for your local imam, and you want to see your local imam, that this gift you have given to him, you want to see him using that gift. So one Friday comes, he is giving the khutbah but he hasn't worn the scarf. The second Friday comes, and then you think, no, maybe he'll wear it on Eid day. But then all these moments pass by, but you do not see that the gift you have given him of the scarf. Then one day, the Imam Sahib, he calls you to his house for some tea, for some dinner. And when you go to his house, you see that scarf, it has been laid in front, on the front door, where the shoes are taken off. So how will you feel in your heart? That this gift I had given him, I bought it from Makkah, Medina, especially for my Imam Sahib, so that he will use it, and he will use it while giving the khutbah or whatever. But when I reached his home, I saw it by the place where the shoes are kept. So how would you feel in your heart? Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many bounties, so many favors, and if we do not utilize and use these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His obedience, how we will be disrespecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How we will be making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displeased with us? So the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be using them in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, with our minds and hearts, we should have this thought in our minds and hearts that this favor is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is with the tongue, verbally a person says that Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, that this favor is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, that favor should be used in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worst thing a person can do is use the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after using the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The giving of a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not deserving of these favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have been given so many blessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Day and night, we are using the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine each and every moment we are breathing this air. This is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not have power, we do not have control on this air. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is giving us this air to breathe in and breathe it out. It is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the favors. In Surah Al-Takathur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That surely on the day of Qiyamah you will be questioned with regards to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us these blessings? In Surah Al-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned so many different favors which He has given mankind. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that كَذَلِكَ يُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْلِمُونَ. Why do I give you these favors? Why do I favor you day and every day? So that you may become the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may subjugate yourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may ponder upon the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you may stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in Surah Al-Takathur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلِ النَّعِيمِ. Surely you will be questioned with regards to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And under this verse, the commentators of tafsir, they have mentioned an amazing incident with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith has been mentioned by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in their kitabs respectively. And it has been mentioned that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was such a time that he left his house. And that was such a time to leave a house that normally no one used to leave the house. Or normally, no one used to go from one house to another house to meet somebody. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his house. And when he left his house, suddenly he saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that, what are you doing here at this time of the day? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentions that, I have come out to see your face, your beautiful face, and I wanted to make salam to you. And in some narration it comes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house, it was out of hunger. And even Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came out of his house, it was because of hunger. And some ulama mentioned that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forgot his hunger. And Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house at such a time, and normally no one used to come out of their house. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also came out at the same time. But he mentions that we learn from this the complete connection and attachment between these two, between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out at the time when he was hungry, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also came out at the time when he was hungry. So we see the complete attachment and connection between these two, between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he further mentions that after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is more deserving of khilafah than Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Because there was a complete attachment and connection between these two. So, when they met each other, then suddenly Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu also came out. So they met each other, and they had all come out of hunger from their houses. Imagine Sayyidul Mursaleen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Shaykhain, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, both of them, they are out of their houses because out of hunger. They never had any food. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, let's go, we will go to somebody's house. So they walked and they went to one Ansari Sahabi radiallahu anhu's house, whose name was Malik ibn Tihan radiallahu anhu. And he was very wealthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so many animals, so many goats, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so many date trees. He had been given a garden. He was He had a garden which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. So they went to his house, and when they inquired that, is he in? So the wife replied, sorry, he has gone out. He has gone to get some water for drinking. In those days they had to go far and get water for drinking. So the wife said that, take a seat, and he will be coming shortly. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Shaykhan radiallahu anhuma, they entered the house, and in a short while Hazrat Malik bin Tihan radiallahu anhu, he came home, and he was so happy that he mentioned that laysa ahadun akrama adiyafan minni, that today I am so happy that I have been honored with guests like the Blessed Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And it comes in the other narration that he was so happy that he made musafaha and mu'anata. He made mu'anata with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of happiness. And he was so happy that I've been honored to have such guests today at my house. And as soon as he reached home and he saw them, and he went into his garden and he plucked a bunch of dates, khajur, and he placed it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, why did you not choose the ripe dates? So he mentioned that I chose this whole bunch so that you may choose whatever you want, whether you want to eat the dried dates, the fresh dates, or the half-dried, half-ripe dates. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they partook from those dates. And after that, he went and he placed the water which he had brought with him, the sweet water he brought with him, he placed it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, he had the jazba of hosting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to place more in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had a milk giving goat, so he wanted to slaughter it, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave it, it gives you milk, why you want to slaughter it? But he wanted to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so happy that I want to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went and he slaughtered the goat, and his wife prepared it, and it was brought in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they partook of that goat. And then after eating all these blessings, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, and he said, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. He read this verse of Surah Al-Takasur, that surely we will be questioned with regards to these blessings which we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, they came out of their homes out of hunger. They were so hungry that they had to leave their homes. And after partaking these blessings, they were in need of these blessings. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them that we will be questioned with regards to these blessings. So let's ponder upon our lives, that how many blessings we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many bounties we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every day, there is a new bounty blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even then, we are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll be questioned with regard to this blessing with this blessing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he observed that this Sahabi radiallahu anhu was carrying out all the work by himself, and because he never had any khadim, anyone to serve him, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that when the prisoners of war come to me, you must come to me, I will give you a khadim, I will give you a person who will serve you. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that he had gone out to get the water himself, and he cut the goat himself, and he brought it himself, he brought the khajur himself. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that when the prisoners of war come, I will give you one from there who will serve you. So when they came to him, when two prisoners of war came to him, this Sahabi radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he came and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you had told me that you will give me one khadim. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that choose one. So this Sahabi radiallahu anhu said, no, you choose for me, because you, no one can be better than you who can choose for me. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that I have chosen this one for you because I've seen him, he performs his salah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose one who was performing his salah, was regularly with his salah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that look after him. When you take him home, look after him. So when he reached home, he told his wife that we have found this person who can serve us, and he is regular with his salah, and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, that I should look after this khadim of ours. So his wife said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that we should look after him. We will not be able to look after him. The best we can do is we should free him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sahabi radiallahu anhu, he freed this slave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to draw your attention towards this incident that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were in need of all these blessings. But even then, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that we will be questioned with regards to these blessings on the day of Qiyamah. And today, we do not progress in our deen. The reason is that we have forgotten the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, we do not see those people who are ahead of us in deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that for you to progress in deen and for you to reach a high status in deen, look towards those people who have surpassed you, who have gone before you. Those people who are ahead of you in deen, look towards them. And with regard to this worldly life, look towards those people who are lower than you. Today it is the opposite. Today we look towards those people who are below us in deen, and with regard to this worldly life, you see, we look towards those people who are higher than us. That he's got a better house, he's got a better car, he's been blessed so much by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that with regards to this worldly life, look towards those people who are below you. Look towards those people who are in need of so many things. They do not have food, they do not have water, they do not have clothing. So we should ponder upon the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should be grateful with regard to the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse I recited before in the khutbah, it is a dua of Hadhrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. He mentions that Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayhi. O Allah, grant me the tawfiq to be grateful with regards to the blessings which you have blessed me, and grant me the tawfiq to carry out good actions so that you may become happy with me and enter me into your pious servants. Now the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so many upon us. We cannot be grateful to with regards to the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being grateful is even another blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it so easy for us. He has taught us one short, small, sweet dua. If we carry out this dua in the morning and evening, then we will have definitely been grateful with regards to the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that in the morning and in the evening, whoever he said this dua, that Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik, faminka wahdak la sharika lak, falaka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukr. That, O Allah, in this morning, in this early morning, in this part of the morning, whatever blessing is with me. And in another narration it comes, aw bi ahadin min khalqik, and whatever blessing is with any of your creation. فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ, that it is only from you. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ, you do not have any partners. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ, all praise is for you and all gratitude is for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever he said this dua in the morning, اللَّهُمَّ مَا أَصْبَحَ بِي مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ أَوْ بِأَحَدٍ مِنْ خَلْقِكَ فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ. And in the evening, whoever he said this dua, you just need to make one slight change. Allahumma ma amsa bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik, faminka wahdak la sharika lak, falaka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukr. Whoever he said this dua in the morning, then he has fulfilled the gratitude of that morning. And whoever he said this dua in the evening, he has fulfilled the gratitude of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that evening. So small, sweet, short dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, it will take us about 5 seconds to read this dua, but we will be classified as those people who have been grateful with regards to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our Hazrat Dawud Barakatum in his Kitab al-Mu'awwadat, you will find this dua in somewhere in the footnotes where the other duas have been written. You will find this short dua, and let's learn this dua and let's try to bring this dua into our lives. Because the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are so many, But it is the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love and affection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his ummah that he has made it easy for us that how we can be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we cannot enumerate and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُصُوَى. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is one of his mu'jizat that he has made it easy for us. That there are so many other miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this is another miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that short du'as, short things to carry out for great virtue. So this is so easy for us. Let's try to learn this thing. We should go to the ulama, sit in their company. Because if we sit in the company of the ulama, this is where we will get to learn new things with regards to our religion. And we need to go also to the mashayikh. This is where we will get to know and get the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the awliya Allah, when you sit in their gathering, and when you hear to their talk, then when you sit in their gathering, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a sign of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you sit by them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just by seeing their face, even when they are not speaking, just by sitting in a silent gathering, just by looking at their faces, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your inclination for the hereafter increases, and your inclination towards this worldly life, it decreases. This is the sign of the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, grant me and all of us the tawfiq to practice on whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.